Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dream by Design with Melissa Banks, where women share their dreams, struggles, and successes, how they were able to persevere despite the fear and create the life they want and deserve. If you're looking for inspiration to move you past where you normally would stop, then this is the show for you. Here's your host, Melissa Banks.
Welcome to Dream by Design with Melissa Banks. I'm excited you could be with us today. I'm your host, Melissa Banks, and today we have another amazing woman to share her journey with us and how she was able to keep going, JJ Winston. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
I'm excited to talk with you and learn more about you, but first of all, let me just congratulate you on your award-winning fiction novels. Let me get this right. That's the anniversary, the commemoration, and the non-fictional, the Anniversary Guide to Behavioral Health and Workbook. You're a busy lady. Tell me, did you always know that you wanted to be a writer?
Yes. From the time I was a young lady, like from the time I was a child, I loved to read. I learned to read when I was 3 years old. And I've read so many books over my lifetime. I said, you know what, I can write a book. And so I decided to do it as a way to raise awareness about one of my passions, and that is behavioral health.
You know, I did notice that clearly that's a passion for yours. First of all, to know at 3 years old how to read and find your love of reading. When I was in elementary school, I could not put books down. That was my thing to do, and I loved reading. So tell me, though, where did the passion for behavioral health begin?
Well, I have a pretty interesting story. When I was a young lady, I wanted to be a computer programmer. And I'm a woman of a certain age. And when we were kids, you know, when I was a child, we didn't have computers, but we knew computers would be important one day. And while I was in school, I had a peer, and we had an argument over a boy. You know, that's what we always argue about. And
yes.
She stopped speaking with me, and I stopped speaking with her for about 4 months. I was a sophomore in high school. And after 4 months, she came and apologized to me and asked me to be, you know, her friend and accept her apology, which I did. And 4 days later, she committed suicide. And it had a profound effect on me. And it changed the whole trajectory of my life. It made me decide that I no longer wanted to be a computer programmer, and I instead wanted to be someone who worked with children and to try to help people so that if they were feeling to the point that they wanted to take their lives, that I could help them. And so that's what I dedicated my career to, and that's what I've, you know, done for many, many years.
Oh, wow. That is so powerful. You know, I'm a woman of a certain age as well, probably further back than you, because we didn't have any thoughts of computers in our day. But we did, now that as an adult, I look back at some of the challenges that I faced with other young girls that we were on the playground with, even a family member. My young sister was killed at a very young age. But when we look back, we realize of her mental health and that her issues she was having that look like behavior were really mental. So I've learned so much over the years since that time. So I that was very powerful. Thank you for sharing that with us. But talk to us a little bit about your career now and what challenges you face. On this show, I'd like to ask the guests to share something that they had to really overcome in order to continue on their journey, continue toward what they're passionate about. So if you could share something with us that you had to deal with and how you were able to overcome it.
I'd love to do that. Well, I started off my career as let me start with my education. I got my bachelor's degree in social work, and then I went on to get my master's degree in social work, and then I went on to get my law degree. I went to school straight. I just did one continuum of school. I became a licensed independent social worker, and then I passed. But before I passed the bar, I did not pass the first time. So that was one thing I really did have to overcome. It's easy to let people get in your head, tell you you can't do something. And I made it a point to just try to always do what someone told me I couldn't do. So that was something I really did have to overcome. Mm-hmm. It's not passing the bar the first time. It's hard. It's hard on your mental health. You know, you feel a little bit less than. But what I didn't do was give up, and I went back and I continued on. So for 19 years, I worked as the client rights officer at my local alcohol, drug, and mental health board, where I was able to represent the rights of people with behavioral health issues. And now, and I did that for 19 years. And in 2017, I left the Adams board and became a magistrate in family court for the first African-American judge in the history of our court. Her name is Tanya Jones. And I just love my job. I'm able to still help people, but it is very stressful and it's very difficult at times.
You know, something really powerful that you just shared when you talked about the law test. So often when we want something really bad and we don't succeed the first time that we go after it, that it stops right there and it stops us. So something powerful you said was, I didn't pass it the first time, but I didn't let other people get in my head, because that's the other thing that stops us is when we don't succeed at it, we hear people say, you weren't supposed to do it. If you were supposed to do it, you would have passed it the first time. And you didn't let all those things stop you from going back again and being able to get to where you are today. So that's very, very powerful. One of the things you talked about, though, is that what you do is stressful. You love it, but it is stressful. So when you get into those times, how do you where do you go for encouragement, inspiration, when you need a moment to just push through a little further?
Well, I've been very blessed. I have a beautiful circle of friends, a beautiful circle of sorority sisters. I am a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, who have really been motivating to me. They encourage me. They push me. But when I'm feeling stressed out, what I often do is write. And I find some kind of encouragement in being able to just go outside of myself and go into somebody else. And when I say that, when you write fiction, you have to be somebody else, other people. Mm-hmm. So I live other people's lives through my writing. And that's a good way for me to distress. I still love to read. I love to listen to music, and I love movies and shows. So I just try to, you know, do things that I feel that are fun to try to take my mind off my stress. And I also I exercise. I have a trainer, and that's a good way to get rid of stress too.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for that. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Dream by Design with Melissa Banks, and today our guest is Magistrate, I guess I should have said, J.J. Winston. I'm excited to learn more about the behavior health and the education and all of that, because what I know that your books came from your extensive background in behavior health and education, but you decided to make it a fiction book. So what is it that you hope the readers will walk away from with it?
What I'm hoping is that readers what they get out of my book is that I want people to not let the stigma of being identified as someone with a mental health issue or a substance use disorder issue, stop them from getting the help that they need. My book is about a family who's living with a family secret, and because it's never addressed, it has a profound impact on my main character's mental health and all the things that happen because of that. I'm hoping that people really start to try to eradicate family secrets. I know that sometimes people make decisions based on what's going on in their life, but sometimes later on it can really hurt a bunch of people. So it's important for us to be honest with each other, to be open with each other. And if you are having any issues, know that, you know, we all fall down, but we get up, that there's help and there's assistance out here, that you can go and get, and something that can be really small, like something that's a scratch, that if I put a Band-Aid on, you know, can heal, that if I don't get that treatment that I need, it might turn into a surgical wound. And I really wanted to write these stories, particularly about people in the African-American community, because when I worked at the Adams Board, I did see a lot of stigma within the community in respect to behavioral health. And I want to help eradicate that. And I've tried to do my part in the universe to just make things better.
Wow, that's great. Well, tell us a little bit about the workbook. How does the workbook coincide with the novel?
The workbook is written for lay people because what would happen is people really, really enjoyed the books. I got so many people who reach out to me, who stopped me, and they said they really loved the books, but they really wanted more of a nuts and bolts of what to do if they're faced with certain situations, having understanding about mental health. There's a lot of jargon and a lot of mnemonics used when people go to a therapist, when they go to the doctor. And a lot of times people don't really understand, but they don't want to say, I don't really know what you're saying. So I put together this workbook to try to help people with that. And also it has reading questions for my first novel. So if you are somebody who has a book club, that would be a perfect complement to the book. And that's also been received very well. And honestly, a lot of professionals have bought my book, particularly people who work as case managers in the behavioral health field.
I think that's wonderful. One of the things that I realized about you in preparing for today is that community work is very important to you. So you serve on various boards and committees. Why is that so important?
I think that what you have some expertise, you should give back to the community. You need to, all of us need to do our part to make the world a better place. I mean, look what's happening right now in our world. We just have people that just appear to be out of control. We have a lot of violence, a lot of substance use, and a lot of times those are just ways for us to, those, you know, to treat the symptoms of what is really going on. And that is, a lot of us are experiencing just a lot of stress. And honestly, people are dealing with a lot of trauma. Trauma is like the number one issue. We're dealing with so much. We see so much. And I just think that if we get in the community and we start trying to help our children and help, you know, the other people who live in our community, we can all make our world a better place. So I just have always been a very civic, community-minded person. It's probably got a lot to do with my social work background.
I totally agree with you, though, because when you give back, when that's why this show is so important to me, is because we hear stories, we hear people who go through some things, and then it helps you to see that they were able to get through them, and that helps you mentally and help you be better equipped in the environment. And I just believe that that helps us all be better people. So I definitely agree with you on that. So talk to us a little bit about if someone is listening to you right now and they have some of these issues or they have a desire to build a career in the direction of behavior health, what are some words that you would say to them to get started?
Well, I would say I would reach out to some of the community agencies where I'm at that do some of this type of work. I would try to find a mentor. There are so many programs and there's so many different ways to go within this field. You know, you have to determine what you want to do, but we always have people who are what we consider case managers. Those are the people on the front lines of mental health and drug and alcohol issues. They are the liaison between the client and the treatment team. So there are so many people who do that kind of work. We have psychiatric nurses. We have psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers. We have people who work in our group homes, our adult care homes, or residential homes, which provides housing and services to people who are dealing with these issues. So there is a huge, there's a lot of places to go within a career for this. And if you are thinking about it, I highly urge that you do it. You know, give your love and your expertise to other people. And I just think that, like you said, it makes you feel so much better. You can think you're having problems, and then you meet other people, and you realize, yes, you do have problems, but maybe your problems are as bad as maybe you thought they were when you see what other people are dealing with. And you help them, you know, to be able to navigate their lives and live a better life. I hope I answered the question.
Oh, absolutely. That was very good. One question I did want to ask you that came up when I was talking with someone else is, do you believe that having a mentor or coach as you build your business and your career is a good thing to have? Or what are your thoughts on having a mentor or coach?
I think having a mentor or coach is one of the best things you can ever do. Everybody needs somebody to be a cheerleader in the background to help them, to help guide them. I've had so many mentors throughout my life, and they've been a blessing to me. They've helped me reach my goals. They've helped me, honestly, to maybe avoid problems and issues because they did guide me. So I believe that having mentors and having coaches are just one of the best things you can do. But you got to find people you can trust, people that you can, you know, relate to.
Absolutely, I agree with you. I've had mentors and coaches that I needed to talk to in that moment that got me unstuck just by something they said or just something they, an exercise they told me to go do, or I just needed to breathe and I needed somebody to listen to me that was going to be real. So I definitely agree that it is one of the most important things, but it took me a while to get there. And what I always say is, you know, if you find that mentor and coach that you don't connect with, then go to another one. Don't stop the process. So I definitely agree. So what are some final words you have for our audience before we end our call?
I'm hoping that your listeners will go out and get my novels. I hope you'll follow me. I hope you'll look at my website, and my website is www.novelistjjwinston.com. I'm also the same thing for Facebook and Instagram. Everything is Novelist JJ Winston. I hope people connect with me. And lastly, I want people to know that I am available to come and speak to their groups via Zoom or however, to talk about some of these things that I'm passionate about. One thing I am passionate about that I did not speak about is my second book has a huge sickle cell theme and a huge human trafficking theme. I picked the sickle cell theme because my daughter lives with sickle cell disease. I picked the human trafficking theme because in my city, human trafficking is huge. We're number 4 in the country. And it is a big deal, and it's happening all over our world and around our country. And I want people to be aware of it. So it's been a pleasure and a privilege to be on your show, and I thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for being here. You shared so much insight with me and my audience. So thank you again for being here. And thank you to our audience for joining us today for this edition of Dream by Design. I'm your host, Melissa Banks, saying all your dreams are possible. Believe in yourself, work hard, and don't quit. Until next time, thank you for choosing Dream by Design with Melissa Banks. Enjoy your day.